the Health and Safety Authority podcast on psychosocial risk assessment returning to work under COVID. I'm Patricia Murray, psychologist at the HSA, and I want to talk to you for about 20 minutes on the topic of managing your own stress, then managing the potential stressors from this period of time, and doing so in a way to make the return to work period, which will be unfolding for most businesses in Ireland over the next few months, to make that a little bit easier. I suppose the reason we're doing this in the first place is because we are in a very difficult time, and regardless of how strong a person is or how resilient, none of us can avoid mentally absorbing the chaos and threat and uncertainty brought about by our environments. And certainly our environment now is like it has never been before, and COVID-19 does permeate the news and the conversations and the worry and the gossip and the trends that we're all living within. So our brains naturally categorize things so that now we are vulnerable to acting on the associations that these categories represent, even if the narrative we tell ourselves is constantly that everything will be fine. And we do have lots of those messages and those voices, and we will get through this. But nonetheless, there's a vulnerability to all of us because of the fact that the brain bypasses our consciousness some of the time. And then we develop attitudes around these things, mistrust or fear or moodiness or anger, without us really meaning to. So with that in mind, I think there's probably two or three things we can do to assist ourselves and our teams and workplaces for this return to work phase. And one of them really is to just be aware of our stresses. And that's where they come from and how they manifest in us in terms of how we feel, and also how they make us behave. So in order to be aware of these, we really need to be motivated to see them, to overcome them, and to learn some skills on how best to overcome these stressful periods. And I want to talk to that here, and I will do. But we also have a big need for control and consistency as human beings. And sometimes what we do is we try to make the world we're in fit into how we perceive it should be. And you might notice yourselves doing this sometimes when, even though you've become accustomed to some of the new order, the new rules, but something flashes by and you really see the world as it used to be, because that's really how we tend to want it to be, to keep what we already knew. So that's something that can be quite taxing, so that we're constantly having to shift our mindsets to what's now rather than what was. So that's something I want to talk about a little bit too. And finally, I suppose we need to plan. We need to look at a plan for returning to work, because our social behavior is very, very pertinent now, and it's influenced by an unconscious playbook, so that our daily actions just proceed according to preset mental models and scripts that we've developed over time. And we need to slightly shift those in order for us to be able to get back to work in a healthy, productive, performance-oriented way. And again, this is all regardless of our efforts. These are just givens that we need to look at when we're moving from a working at home initial phase of this COVID to a return to work second phase along the so-called roadmap. So that's what I want to address in this podcast today. So if we look first of all at just appreciating what stress is, and all of you will know yourselves what you feel stress is when you feel it. But what's informative for you might be just to try and analyze a little bit more about where exactly it comes from for you. Because in any one event, what somebody feels particularly distressed about might be a different corner or a different angle of that event. So ultimately, it's a psychological state of frustration and imbalance, and everybody has some understanding of it. What we do normally when we feel stressed is often to deny it and say it's not there, to kind of engage in busyness so that we're just busy, not stressed. Or we can displace it and put it onto something else and make something else the owner of it so that it's not ourselves. And often people, when they're in touch with us in the Health and Safety Authority, might report stresses as coming from different tasks in the work. And when we maybe interrogate that a little bit more, we can see that maybe the person, how they're interacting with the task, is developing a lot of that stress for themselves, or it's somehow something to do with their interaction. Whatever our coping mechanisms were before are unlikely to be that helpful for now, because Stresses from the past were generally transient things that came and went, whether it was a stressful event at work, an exam, a piece of work we had to do, or a family issue, even a holiday, a separation. So many things can sap our mental energy and cause us to stress. What we're looking at now, and this is because our focus is on workplace, we're looking really at how the workplace has become dislocated psychologically and geographically. When we've all been sent home, there's a lot of connotations to being sent home, sent to one's room, stay in. So a lot of psychological associations which somehow infantilize us and strip us of the freedoms that we know we deserve and we already had. So you'll know that to take something away from somebody involves a psychological pain for the person. And we have been actually stripped of much of our freedom, not just by having to work from home, but also having to delimit our stretch and our reach in our world and delimit our holidays. And generally, we've had to give up lots of our freedoms. So this particular stress that we're in is not like any other one. And there's no particular preparation any of us can have done for this. So that even in psychological research, social psychology research, there aren't a lot of papers that look at times like this. There are some that look at stressful events that have happened in the world and how they influence people and what they do. And I'm taking on board some of those papers for this talk. But ultimately, what we have to do is we have to find a new way of dealing with the stresses that we've already dealt with, because this, whilst it will pass, it is a longer term issue, and we have to find a way to deal with stress that's better than the ones we've had heretofore. And what we really need as human beings when we look at stress is control. Controlling the environment we have is a big factor in looking at how stress develops and the stress dynamic. So we need to have some way of controlling our environment, even though we know that some of our control has been stripped of us. So if we look at the level of control we used to have and the level of control we have now, we'll have to say that they're quite different. But we also need to look at the things that we have more control of, which in the past we didn't. If we look at our working day, if we're working from home, obviously we're working out of the workplace. So there are things we can do in the day that we otherwise could not have done. So what we kind of say in psychology is, if you're trying to treat something, just to focus on the thing you're treating puts too much of our mental attention on that thing. So what we really need to do is mentally attend to other things instead of constantly looking at the thing we're trying to treat. So if you're looking at stress and you're in your workplace or you're at home, what we say is try and develop things before you've got the stress that you can then drop into that space and do those things, because they take your mind off thinking about the stress. So if we look at, again, what we're trying to do here, what we're trying to do is ease the pain of stress that we have. And the pain we have is very much different for all of us. And it saps our mental energy to get things done and get things done efficiently. If you take a physical pain and we make it analogous to a mental pain, say it's a pain in the knee, a pain in the back, there's two elements to that pain: the experience of the pain itself, and then secondary to that, your unique interpretation of that pain. And your interpretation of the pain very much depends on your environment. So if you reflect yourself on times you've had a pain in a knee or an arm or an elbow, and then something nice has happened, you kind of forget the pain. Or you're having a really good time in some other area of life, so the pain, you report the pain to others as it's not so bad. And if the pain's been ongoing, day three, you feel it's worse than it was day one. Maybe you feel it's not so bad on a Friday. So what we need to focus on here is our interpretation of our internal world. Because there are two elements to stress as well. And one of them is how stressed we actually feel. And the second element, where you have a lot of control, is how you internalize and externalize that pain you've got. And if you feel that you've got some support for it, there's other people you can talk to about it, that the workplace will help you to plan and strategize around it, then you're going to feel the burden of that stress as much easier to master and to handle than if you don't feel that. So we need to be careful about ourselves, not just because we're victims of what goes on around us, but because we also have control over what goes on around us. And we need to kind of harness that control and use it. And also we need to look at our social selves, because we've been very socially isolated here. But we need to look at how we can be as social as we can within the confines that are put upon us at the moment. So I'm going to go through that and talk to those items right now. So in order to make the return to work phase more positive for yourselves and your teams, keep a few things in mind One is that the altered reality we have experienced modifies our behavior. So being on the receiving end of the messaging, whereas it has influenced our behavior, as we all know, socially we've adapted, it has had other effects on us that maybe bypass our awareness. So the altered reality of being at home, whether you've got children at home or not, you've had a very different environment. You've had a very different social life and a very different psychological life. You'll have had different dreams, you'll have different fears. And this does modify our behavior. So try to reflect on how it's modified yours. What days of the week are easier or more difficult for you? What times of the day are your low and high points? What about evenings? Do you find the evenings more difficult? Weekends, is Friday stripped of its joys and benefits because now it doesn't mark a transition the way it used to? So as I said earlier, really awareness of you in the world you're in is crucial to you gaining control over the world you're in order for you to return to work more positively. So be aware of how your behavior's changed. Maybe your mood has changed, and then try to get into that space. Try to develop new behavioral patterns that they then will impact your thinking and your functions. Because not only does our thinking influence what we do, when we do certain things, even things we're not too keen on doing, we think differently afterwards. An example is going to the gym in the past. You might maybe don't want to go to the gym. You're finished in the gym. You feel better. You've got endorphins. So physiologically you're different, but also your attitude will have changed by the very fact of having done something that you know is good for you that you didn't want to do. So you've actually invested in your own self-efficacy. Self-efficacy, the belief that you can do things and you can do them with a capability. And that's very important for the return to work phase, that you've looked at yourself and that you've acknowledged the different days and times which influence you, and also tried to pinpoint some activities that you like to do, make you feel good before doing them, during doing them, or after doing them, one or the other of those three. Maybe put aside the things that you always felt you should do and did do because they were good things to do, but in fact, they stress you. So if you can possibly put aside those stressors that you used to engage in just for this moment, for the next, say, 3 month period, if you decide, I know that they stress me, I'm not going to do them because I need to concentrate on things that make me feel good. So we will have increased frustrations from both the macro and the micro world, from the big things we cannot do and the small things we cannot do. And you might find sometimes you're extra annoyed with the IT or the phone or a small little micro element in your world that's frustrating you. And what you're doing really is you're just designing your behavior to focus on something that you can get it out on rather than focusing on the thing that you actually can't have a tantrum about. So you'll often find this in yourself, and at the end of the day, then you might be annoyed with yourself for getting so upset or distressed or irritated. So try to be aware. It's absolutely normal. Everybody will be doing these kind of things, but you need to try to just be aware of these things so that you can then try and reduce your exposure to them. So we know from research that the accumulation of continual experiences in the one zone, in the current climate of the COVID worry, so an accumulation of experience and exposure makes us relatively passive in how we process and learn from it. So what we really need to do too is move away from that constantly passive association and exposure to COVID-related news and events. So really we need to try and bring some novelty into this space. So please reduce your exposure to some of the news items and some of the constant updates. You need to engage your own active doing rather than your passive listening. So whether that's engaging in a new learning thing, learning a new language, or doing some new learning thing online or otherwise, or reading a new type of book, or doing something that's novel and requires cognitive effort. Actually, that will do is it will actually bypass some of that negativity from the constant exposure. So exposure to the kind of negative messaging, whilst it's good in one way, it also has a negative impact, and we need to look at that. So you need to try and then reduce your negative behavioral patterns, and that's looking at different tolerances, different challenges, different moods, different social attachments, and reducing the fear. Then you have to really try and reframe the working week. So the working week when you're at home will be different to that when you're back in work. You may be back on a 2 or a 5 day week. So individuals and managers should really be looking to plan this in advance. First thing to look at is your people. They're not the same people as they were when they left. So it would be a mistake to just act as though nothing has happened here. We were working from home, now we're working back in the office. That's not a strategy for health and safety. You need to first acknowledge that everybody is slightly different now, and it wasn't normal working from home. So first thing you do really when you're trying to develop and learn is ask people, what worked for them when they were working from home that we can possibly incorporate into our return to work system. So was there, did they develop a working pattern of between Monday to Friday, or did they have some other way of managing and manipulating the work that was more productive than when they previously had been in the workplace? So don't assume they're the same. Acknowledge that they're not. Research into leadership behavior and influencing and commitment at work all show us that if you say a person's name and if you ask them how they are, about themselves and how they found a thing, and then you ask them to do a piece of work, they're much more likely to do the piece of work than had you not asked those two previous items. So it's coercion in one person's language and it's simple decency in another's. So this is the time, more so than ever, for managers and leaders and organizations to acknowledge the humanity of all of the people, to acknowledge that they've had a different system and to listen to them about what worked and what didn't work. Language you use should be less corporate going back to work. You really need to use much more soothing language. Words do matter. And a person will associate something with a word that they mightn't otherwise have done prior to COVID. Less mentioning of actual COVID itself would be a good idea. You're trying to remove it from the space. Everybody knows. But what you want to do is, we're back to work. This is our summer. This is our schedule for summer. What worked for you when you were at home, and what can we bring into the world of work, back in work, that suits you? So people feel that there's a sensitivity to their situation and they're listened to. Good principles for this time are always to make sure there's some reciprocity and people, that you're returning to the employee what they have done for you, that you're being consistent in what you say. You cannot be inconsistent in this space, because obviously we've all had a lot of inconsistency and unreliability in our lives, and we really need to have consistency. You want to foster social attachments between people. Even though you have to do social distancing in canteens, you do need to have some space in the workplace that people can engage in social attachments at a distance. So factor that in. Again, ask people, but ensure that your canteen or whatever facility you have fosters an attachment time every day for people. Similarly, authority. People need to have some authority. So pick carefully what you're going to use as your authority and go with that and limit it. Constant messaging, not a good idea. Again, for yourselves and for your staff, find things that they like to do and to talk about. There's no harm in people liking and talking about last year's holidays, even if they won't get one this year. It's actually good for our mental health. Talking about a pleasant time is a proxy for the experience of that time. So sometimes we tend to avoid those things out of some sense of loss and nostalgia, but in fact, it's a good thing to do it. So factor into the workplace maybe things you otherwise wouldn't have factored in because they're not work per se. But really, this is the time to try and, we've loosened the borders between work and home already. It would be unproductive to tighten them up too tightly now. It's better to slowly put the borders back up for what work is. And that would be over the entire 3-month period of the summer. So I would advise employers now to have a plan that really goes from May, June, July, August. Consult with staff now to see what the best and the worst things were about working from home. Try and address some of the things that they found difficult. And one of those will be control, consistency, and social attachment. They'll also want to know when they're going back, the times, and they'll want to know something of the physical layout so that they're safe. And you need to make sure that you tell people that and you discuss that with them. Remember that all stress has got negative behavioral consequences. And people don't always know what those consequences are. They have some immediate effects like lack of concentration, memory lapse, putting things off, taking more risks. And then some slower unfolding long-term effects, anger, bad habits, maybe depression, dissociation. And you need to probably address that with both types of effects with your team, insofar as it's reasonable. An employer is not supposed to be the psychiatrist or the psychologist, but have a reasonable understanding yourself and have your managers have a reasonable understanding that times are different, they've changed. We need to look more closely, more carefully at people, and then we need to plan. And we plan by listening, considering, and then making a decision with certain degree of longevity in it, so a decision that will last for 2 to 3 months, and then inform people and regularly inform them. And keep words about COVID out of the narrative of the workplace for this time. So thank you for listening to the podcast. Health and Safety Authority, we have our own guidance and advice for you. We also have our online tool, which is free to use to assess psychosocial stressor is called Work Positive at www.workpositive.ie. I've been Patricia Murray from Health and Safety Authority. Stay safe.